In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This Mass is being offered for the needs of those who dwell within this house. Today, we're celebrating a feast of a particular saint that you don't know very well. But you need to know him. Him as in a her, and not in the way that the world talks about these things during this month. Now, what is the saint? Saint Alexandre de la Costa. Fabian will be maybe a little bit bored with this, but we didn't do any preparation for the saint in any way. But who is Saint Alexandre de la Costa? She is a powerful, powerful saint, a female saint of the early 19th century, living her life as a very devout young lady. She and a group of other young women her age would do to contribute to the domestic economy would be to set about their days knitting, set about their days sewing, and doing these beautiful feminine chores at home while everybody else would go out and work. They would contribute in these little ways to the domestic economy. Alexandrina and her companions, young women, by definition, that means they're very attractive. And so their beauty was desired in the wrong way. On a number of occasions, there was one particular man who would go out in order to have his way. Each time that he would go, he would try to get in. There was something that prevented him from being able to get in. He'd try to go and something stopped him, so he had to give up. On a second occasion, he went there and he physically got to the door and pulled with all his might and beat upon the door to pry it open in order to have his way with these young women. The door would not budge open. On a third time, he went, here with two other scoundrels more wicked than he. And on this occasion, he was able to find his way in. And the girls, hearing these men who had caught them there in this place and declared their intentions to have their way with these young women, they fled upstairs. And Alexandrina, who was the bravest of the bunch, bolted the door of the bedroom shut, pushing furniture in front of it and all. And that was not enough to deter these men who were bent upon one thing of evil. So what occurred? Young Alexandrina, who desired purity above all else, seeing that there was no other way, leapt from the second story window, down to the ground below in this darkness, mangling herself in the process. And as she hit the ground, mangled, broken bones and all, heard the cries of her fellow confriers, fellow sisters who were above, who were undergoing terrible things. And seeing that they were in that way, prayed to God, and courage came upon her, such that she was able to rise to her feet, broken and mangled as she was, and even grabbed a very large board. I imagine it had a nail on the end of it. And then proceeded into the house, dragging herself up step by step by step as she went into this house, going up the stairs, and began yelling and screaming at them, the words of which I do not recall. And as she went up those stairs, wildly flailing this board at these big, strong men, can you imagine the terrible mess that she must have looked like, broken as she was? Certainly that is not what drove the men away. I believe that it was her guardian angel, who was wielding something far more furious, that drove these men to abandon these tasks before they could even begin to truly engage. And leave in fright. Alexandrina, having saved her sisters here, they were her companions, collapsed to the ground. Later on, the doctors came and summoned, and everybody in the town knew exactly what had gone on, and they knew exactly who it was. No justice would be meted out, for her assailants were well-connected politically. And so Alexandrina was given the prescription of her doctor, saying that she would never walk. But Alexandrina refused to believe in this reality, that her life was going to be like this. And so she fought against it strongly, believing that she would go, but her condition only proceeded to get worse and worse as time went on, losing more and more of her faculties to move. But something amazing happened to this young girl, that she herself knew that there was a power that could save her, a power that could bring about healing. And she knew where that power was. In God's house, in his church, she knew that her Savior dwelt in the tabernacle. And so Alexandria, day by day, every day, would walk to the church, spend hours there. But her legs began to fail her with time. All the more she believed that God could still do something if he wished to do something. Eventually, Alexandria lost total use of her legs, and so she would drag herself, clawing with her hands, to Mass every morning, and she would spend hours before the Blessed Sacrament, begging in the front pew, sometimes upon the altar rail, saying, Lord, if you want to heal me, you can heal me. Time and time again, she continued to proceed to do this. So amazed were the local townspeople of the area that this young lady believed so much in God, and she made every effort to make it to Mass. What was their excuse? Who had so much more facility in doing such a simple task. They began to refer to her as their little santa, their little sufriendo, their little suffering girl. God did not hear her call. No change in her physical ability was ever changed. In fact, she only proceeded to get worse and worse. And she wondered, does God actually hear my prayers? Are my prayers effective? Has God abandoned me in the state to this body of sin, to this body of torment, after having done such good? You can imagine how that weighed upon her soul for having done something so great, and what is her reward? Further and further decline in health. Doctor's words proved true. But Alexandria had a young priest. A young priest who was passionate about, who came to her and attended her at her bedside time and time again. And he convinced her, Alexandrina, stop fighting God. God has given you this. Accept the suffering that he's given you. Don't you see that God wishes to use the suffering? If you would but stop fighting his will and just embrace your state just as you are, God can do something great. Trust in him. And he began teaching her little by little how to offer up her sufferings, how to turn to the Lord. And as the suffering intensified, to say, yes, Lord, for you, Lord, for love of you. To say, as she was feeling the pains course through her body and the aches and her inabilities, her frustrations, to say, I receive this for you. To see herself at the foot of the cross. And all the more she began to grow in acceptance, and in fact, contrary to what can be believed, in joy. God visited young Alexandria with even greater graces as time went on, that she began to feel within her own body the passion truly taking place in such a way that baffled all who were around her. Alexandria was given the grace for the last 3 years of her life to live on nothing else but the Holy Eucharist. You can recall this is the time of Fatima. Recall the great Sindaco, the great mayor who was the mason in Santarem, who sequestered the young shepherd children at the time and caused them to miss the appointment with Our Lady, for which reason the miracle of Fatima was less impressive and would redound to the conversion of souls all the less because of this great sin. In the same way, they sought to disprove what was going on with young Alexandrina. Not only was she surviving on the Eucharist, but for long before, feeling those wounds within her body that actually took place just at the very time in which they did indeed take place with our Lord. She was literally reliving the passion every Friday, where wounds would appear within her hands, where she would, only on Fridays, was granted the grace of walking, moving around, as though nothing was wrong with her, until the moments of the passion would hit, as our Lord would fall, her body would give way in an instant. When it was time for the crucifixion, she would be splayed out, unable to move, wounds would appear within her hands, and she would undergo the full weight of that suffering every single Friday. There was a particular young doctor who being himself a mason, wished to disprove this and to show that she was just a silly girl who was leading people astray. What did he do? He waited and waited. Here comes a Friday. See what she does. And as she fell to the ground in the middle of taking a step right there, he saw it himself. Get up, young lady. Get up. And he would refuse to believe that anything was going on there. And so he chose to pick her up himself. And try as he must, this little girl at this point weighed less than 90 pounds. She was wasting away. And this strong man, a doctor, could not begin to budge her from the floor. Cemented to the ground she was. And at seeing this with his own eyes and examining her the rest of the day, was converted immediately. Again, they sought to disprove, the masons did, what was actually going on within her. So they said, here it is, they're convincing her that she's some sort of saint. She's living by the Eucharist alone? No, impossible. A wafer could not maintain a little girl, no matter how frail she may be. So they took her to the hospital, placed her within the bed, and stationed a 24-hour guard around her, such that nobody got in with anything without the permission of the guard. Day after day, week after week, nothing but the Eucharist was granted her. And not only did she not waste away, she had all the energy in order to be joyful and on Fridays to walk around until those moments of the passion would occur. Finally, they gave up because they saw the more that they tried to disprove, the more proof would be had. And they desired not to have people give further credence to what was going on within her body. Had I done any research on this before, and rather than giving it purely from memory, I'd be able to give you some of her quotations, some of the beautiful sayings which she said, which I entrust to you and your understanding. But what do we see in this little girl? That the Lord God, for his own purposes, chooses to give health to some and chooses to remove that health from others. Chooses to allow others to endure inexplainable suffering, and to others in an instance he relieves it. But what is the task of us within our lives? It is not to worry for the wise, but just to do is to blessedly accept. Lord Jesus, this is what you want of me today. I accept this from you today. This is what you desire me in this moment, this ability or this inability, this joy or this sorrow, this success or this failure. For you, Lord, as you wish it and when you wish it. And the sooner we begin to more and more accede to the will of God within our lives, the greater joy that we are able to live it out, and the greater God's blessing is not only merely to fall upon us, but upon the greater community by seeing what God can do through a soul that just says yes. In the midst of you and your sufferings, and as it seems that Alexandrina de la Costa has selected you for a deeper friendship, you know not the way forward to understand, or have not the strength, or the courage, or the wherewithal to make another step forward with Christ, go to your friend. Ask her how she dealt with it. And when you have not the courage, the strength, ask her to intercede for you and grant her your strength as she intercedes from heaven. This fourth seer of Fatima is not just a figure in the past for you and I to wonder, to gawk at and say, wow, it must have been great to be her, to be blessed in some way that she was able to have the right intercession in the right moments, the right graces, the right helps of a good spiritual director and father, but to see that even in her, you and I, in the midst of our sufferings, have one who has gone before, who has finished the race, and who is not content with having success for herself, but as all the saints, cannot be content, and to the whole of the family, particularly those who endure just as they have endured, finally make it to the glories which God has prepared for those who love him. just like you and just like me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.